Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome back, everybody, to Wrestling Omakase. It is episode number 304. We are live from beautiful Hoffman Estates, scenic Hoffman Estates, Illinois. What, like 35 minutes? I don't know why I went that specific. Like a little while after the G1 Climax, like what? I just came up with that number on the top of my head. I have no idea if that's true.
It sounds right.
Yeah. But I'm joined here by three guests who have all appeared on Omakase before. We're all in the same room. So, first of all, Quinlan's here.
Hello.
I love the way you do that. When you just, every time I ask you to like introduce yourself, I'm just like, hello. It's a great introduction. I think you're probably the one who hasn't been on here in the longest.
Probably not.
Maybe Otakon, right? Well, I mean, you'll be on again for Otakon. No. Well, was the Japan travel before or after Otakon? Might have been before.
I think it was before, but I could be wrong.
Which, that episode got rave reviews, by the way. People were like, yeah. They love that episode, the Japan travel episode. Somebody in Japan told me in December, like, actually, it was Matt. We met earlier. I think he was like, okay, that episode made me so hyped for Japan, I had to go at that point. So, rave reviews for the episode. Yes, Quinlan's here. John Bibbins is directly to my left.
Hi, everybody.
Very, very handsome man, John Bibbins.
Oh, thank you so much,
yes,
John.
Yes. And Armeth is here, too. He's lying on a bed.
Hell yeah.
He's really far away, so hopefully he's being picked up by the microphone. You do have a loud voice.
Yeah, I do. So,
I was going to say loud.
I can project.
I was going to say loud Midwestern voice, but I don't think you're actually from the Midwest.
No, just, I am.
Oh, okay. I thought you moved to Iowa.
No, I did move to Iowa, but I moved to Iowa from Kansas City.
Yeah. That is the gateway. Oh, no, that's St. Louis, actually.
St. Louis is the gateway to the West, yes.
But
you want to debate what is and is not in the Midwest, we can do that for the next 3 hours. I'm down.
That's like a big thing, right? Like,
it is, yes.
But most people would consider Kansas City Midwest?
Yes.
Okay.
I would say 100%.
Okay. So what's the debate then? Like Nebraska?
Colorado. Copy one where people aren't sure. Mm-hmm. You could also say maybe just parts of Missouri are basically the South, which is accurate.
Yeah. Well, parts of like Delaware is the South.
Parts of Briscoe's are proud. Parts of New York City are basically the South.
Parts of Pennsylvania are not.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Like fucking Pennsylvania.
Well, basically everything outside the cities.
Yeah. But yeah, we're in beautiful Hoffman Estates. We're all some degree of toasty, which is cool. I mean, I have plenty to drink tonight, which is probably why I'm about to give this show such a rave review. But yeah, really fucking
great. No, this is sober analysis from reasoned and highly experienced commentators.
Yeah.
You have no reason to doubt it. Put that drink down.
Well, you were like, we should just open the show with, like, cracking open a can.
Yeah.
Which would be good. But this long drink you bought, really good.
It's yeah, like I like a, it. Finish, first time, that's your first time having a long drink?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
Because we were at Chris Sampson's barbecue earlier today, so shout out to Chris Sampson, first of all, for hosting that. Like, 30 fucking people, I think, at his house.
Yeah. It's a big-ass bunch of people.
A lot of people.
Yeah, and again,
where I looked, there was like a group of people organized.
There were
like,
two babies.
There were two babies.
Two babies, yes. 30, like 30 adults. And there was like a sign outside, like told you when you like pulled up, it was like, you know,
go to the back.
Welcome to the G1 kickoff barbecue, go to the back. Yeah, that
to
was
the
cool.
Back.
The last time I went to his barbecue, he didn't have a sign. No. So
I think it was indoors mostly.
You were here?
Oh, I might be thinking of a different barbecue at a different house.
No. I think, now I'm thinking
of all.
You were at All In. So that was his house. Yes. Okay. The last one I went to would have been All Out 2023. Big AEW fans, everybody knows. But yeah, the one that was like Kenny and Takeshita, I think it's 2023. I don't know. Well, you're the fucking AEW viewer here. You can't fucking tell me.
Lately, my memory of recent stuff has been.
Are you talking about the last time they faced each other?
No. That was it was whichever one was in Chicago. I think it was All Out 2023. It's the same show with like Danielson and Ricky Starks. It was like the one it was
that
like
happened.
Yeah, they had like a strap match. It was really good. It was really good.
It was a good strap.
Yeah,
well, watching that G1 video to start the show, I was like, I remember in great detail of everything that happened in 2014, 2015.
Yeah, yeah.
Once I got to like 2022, I was like, what? So who the fuck did Nitro won in 2022? Who the fuck did he beat?
Nitro beat Okada. That was awesome.
My brain is like,
ever, actually.
The last few years have kind of like, not that I don't like them or anything, just like my brain is at full storage.
Well, the one I had the least memory of was 21, which I can't even remember who won it. Now. Oh, it was Okada. Okada won two in a row.
Yeah.
Like those peak pandemic ones. I don't fucking know.
I think it was Ibushi. That might have been the one that Ibushi.
Oh, that was the one. You didn't even show him winning. It just showed him like.
That's
like
right.
Every other one. It showed him pinning. And that one is just. Because the finish was he just. Boom, and then Okada like sit there looking disappointed and like, yeah, fuck. And that's so
who did he beat in 22? He won two. Oh, was that Jeff? No, Jeff Cobb.
No.
Almost won undefeated.
I think it was the semifinals.
Yeah. It was. We're all gonna like sit here until we figure this out. I guess was that Ospreay? There was a really,
yeah. It was Ospreay.
There's a really awesome Okada.
He beat Ospreay one year, but
yeah. There's a really awesome Okada Ospreay final. I think there's 22. But anyway, it's the same.
That's
thing.
That's not the one where Ospreay turned heel, right?
No, he already was a heel. I think because he turned heel like the year before in the G1. I think
he turned heel right when he came back during
over two years before 2020.
Yeah,
2020.
Yeah, it was a block final.
Yeah.
I think
it was. It 2018 or 2019 where you were like pissed all weekend because Tanahashi beat. You knew Naito wasn't going to the finals.
Probably 2018.
The fucking G1 thing just already before even like we put on the A and B block finals and had a thing tomorrow. Tanahashi versus Ibushi.
Yeah,
the
they
finals,
so like, that one that was 2018.
Why?
So they learned their lesson on that.
They never did it again.
Whenever you watch New Japan World Now and you go to a final, it just says like final.
Yeah.
So they don't spoil that anymore.
That was like,
but yeah, that was the one I remember.
And you were
that.
Like fucking.
I was really.
You had
mad.
Like a stick up your ass the whole rest of the week.
Well, because I knew that. I mean, we really had to do Naito Jericho again at that 2019 Wrestle Kingdom.
Because
remember how long they made us wait to get Naito get that fucking belt back. I mean, Omakase listeners know how mad I was.
I don't think you've ever broke. I can't see you ever getting mad.
That's true.
Okay, you were right. The G1 Climax 2022 final was Kazuchika Okada over Will Ospreay.
That's probably. I think that might have been match of the year that year. That was an incredible fucking match. But anyway, so yeah, G1 because they played this. People have no idea what we're talking about. I don't know if this was on TV or not. To be fair, they played this incredible video. Of like every single G1 winner going back to 91. And as you point out, they love to show that those clips of the fans throwing the cushions in, which is why we don't get
do that every...
which is why anyone who's been to Ryogoku, we don't get cushions no more.
You have to sit your ass in the hard ass
brand. Because like there was the other one too where like where Vader beat Inoki in like 3 minutes and the fucking Japanese wrestling fans
lit
with the cushions on fire.
So... they should say to the owners, listen, Vader's dead, it's never gonna happen again. The guy died. Like I think
you're. No, honestly, if I had a chance to light a cushion on fire and throw it, I would do it.
That's true.
So they should ban me from doing it specifically.
Yeah. But look, what's really really funny is one of my haters, my prime hater, was basically trying to, quote, parody tweet as me and be like, you know, the G1 climax opening in America isn't the same as Japan, so this is really bad. I'm like, motherfucker, I'm flying to Chicago for this. It's like, I am not...
They thought you would be mad about
it? They thought I'd be mad about it, yeah.
That means you get to see it.
Yeah, I will.
You travel to Japan like twice a year now. They think you're not going to travel like a 2-hour flight away to Chicago.
Apparently, they thought that. Real yes, brain. I was gonna like.
I could see Japan, but Chicago. They too thought far. I've only been there 7 times. You know,
they thought I was gonna fucking like what's the word? I don't know combust. The word. Not combust. like fucking strike or whatever. You know, like not like refuse to come here. I can't think of the word because I'm drunk.
You went when I did in Dallas.
I went when I did it in Dallas. Yeah, well, these fucking people are stupid, first of all. So that's number one. But number two...
You've gone to Chicago for a wrestling show since 2006.
Besides the fact that we had a suite, so we were, like, really separated from Gem Pop American Wrestling Fan, it was a good crowd. Like, this crowd...
This was a smart crowd.
Yeah, this was a Shin Nihon Freak crowd.
It is smaller than other ones, but what they have left are the people that love
New Japan.
That's what Wrestling Observer
said. It's like 3,900?
Yeah.
Which is a pretty good crowd. Look, 3,900 is a pretty... That's probably going to be like one of the best G1 crowds of the fucking tour.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a lot of G1 crowds that are below 3,900.
I thought the crowd was much better than that New Jersey Trenton show.
Yeah,
you could tell were mostly there for...
It was like half and half. I thought it was half and half. There were some New Japan fans.
People were here in New Japan.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were super into Takeshita, which I expected. But there's, like, plenty of New Japan fans that like him, too, in America. And, you know, but they were into the New Japan people. I mean, that was a good... They liked
them some Yuta Ice.
They loved Yuta Ice.
A little too much.
Yeah, I mean, they liked Yuya a lot.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
I was getting merch, but I heard a big pop for Umino.
They liked Umino.
Much bigger than he ever gets in Japan, usually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Umino has a Moxie tie-in, I guess, but... I don't know.
I mean, that's getting more and more tentative, though, over time. I feel like at this point, it's just people like Shota Umino.
Yeah. But it was a good crowd. I mean, this was a Shin Nihon Freak crowd for the most part. So, I mean, we have one guy sit behind us this week who didn't seem like he'd never watched New Japan before in his life.
Oh, yeah, this guy sitting
next to you. Yeah, yeah, what? Yeah.
Yeah, well, it felt like he watched it, but he hasn't watched it in a while.
Yeah.
Because there were some people he knew. He was like, oh, this guy, yeah, or, oh, is he still here? Like, I think he used to watch it, but hasn't watched it in a while.
Yeah, yeah.
But there were, obviously, if you haven't watched it, there are a lot of new faces.
For the most part, the people in our suite, obviously, were like, we had, like, a lot of, like, podcasters and shit.
Yeah.
And we had two suites, technically. And trying to think who the fuck was in our suite versus the other one. But yeah, Chris Samson
popped up. Yeah, Rich Craig.
Rich Craig was in our suite. I went, when fucking Jake Lee and Shingo was great, I went straight up there and I was like, Rich Craig, you gotta give the fucking Silent Jester his due. Because he kept telling me that match was gonna suck. He didn't. I gotta be fair, actually. When we were at the barbecue, I told Rich, I'm like, there's a universe that match is great. And he was like, there is a universe. I don't know if it's this one. Well, guess what? It was this universe because that match was fucking great. But yeah, I don't know. Like, that match over... I just want to get into... Basically, the stuff on the show I thought would be great if anything was even better. And the stuff on the show I wasn't sure about for the most part was a lot better than I expected. Like, there were, like, some... Like, the lows of the show were not that low and the highs were really fucking high.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, this was a way better show than Dominion, which I was also at. So it's like, I have no live bias over one or the other. I don't know if it was better than Stardom the Conversion. I don't know.
I think it's close.
I think that's my show of the year. I'll have to
sleep on it.
It's really close, I think. I mean, I think this show had more notebook matches, but, like, the Stardom the Conversion was such a cool, like, live atmosphere. Yoyogi's such a cool venue. And I had a better seat. I had a front row for that. But yeah. Look, that's... At worst, it's the second best show of the year, I think. So, I mean, really, really great show. Before we get into, like, the card, is there anything else people want to talk about today or anything?
I just wanted to add one more thing. If this is 3,900 and paying American customers in dollars, like, why doesn't New Japan just do this every year now? Always open the G1 in America.
Yeah, I don't know. Because, like, you think the flight expenses are really high. And also the ticket prices are pretty low for this show. So, I don't know. I hope they keep doing it. I'll fucking fly wherever the fuck for the G1 open.
Really sold out in merch. Like,
oh,
like I said, after the third match, I was like, can I get that shirt? And they were like, every shirt and sweatshirt, everything, we only have small and 4XL.
Okay, well, never mind. I got a beanie, but because I went back
small and 4XL.
That's all.
Well, the burst line was just
said for every.
Yeah.
I did. I actually. I just assumed she meant including this hoodie. I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't ask, but I. But.
Did they have the? Did they have the? What's it called? The tracksuit.
Yes, I didn't ask that. I mean, maybe the
tracksuit's fucking awesome. Because one of the
guys like three different tracksuits, I think.
Really, I should have bought one. I'm so mad at myself.
By the time you got there,
although I'm completely broke, so I actually shouldn't have bought one, but. But yeah, I gotta get a New Japan tracksuit because I got the Stardom one, and now it's a great track. They make great. The Soul Sports makes great tracksuits.
Yeah,
they do this. I think they do one for AEW now because Tony Khan saw them and he was like, "Oh, I gotta get one." And there's like a Suri one. I don't know what else tracksuits they do.
Mentioned Stardom, of course, right?
Yeah, I own the Stardom one, so yes, I know the Stardom. It'll make a Stardom tracksuit.
I was like half paying attention. I'm still watching the highlights from the World Cup over here.
So, folks, you can tell it's going to be a great episode when one of the co-hosts is not paying attention to the episode.
Yeah,
totally. This has never happened before in podcasting history.
Yeah.
We've literally done a show where one of the co-hosts fell asleep. So.
What was that one?
I could have sworn when we were... You know what? It might have been the episode that was never released or was recorded, but you never put it out. We recorded one because we recorded two in the 2019 Japan trip.
Uh-huh.
I think the second one was never released, but someone in the room was like jet lagged. It was like his first day there, and he just passed out like during the show.
I don't think I didn't release the episode,
but it was like 10.
I vaguely remember what you're talking about. Yeah,
there was like 10 people, so no one.
Yeah.
Until like a while into it.
No, that's true. The 2019 one was wild. Yeah, that was in the Airbnb, right? That one that was like that had like seven bedrooms or whatever, and like one of the beds was like randomly like a rock, and like our friend Rich, not Rich Craig, different Rich. Like, took the rock bed as, like, a
sacrifice.
Yeah, that was very
wasn't
nice.
Wasn't that back when everyone thought I was, like, an AEW hater? Like, someone gave you, like, a negative...
Well, okay!
He's like, I dare criticize the second show they did.
Yeah, well... The AEW fans are very nice. They definitely never sent me death threats. I was telling that story in the street to somebody, and they were like, I think it was you, actually. You were like, they sent you death threats? I was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, at the party.
At the party, yeah, whatever.
Not the sweet, yeah. But, I mean, I'm not surprised.
Over the Nigel,
I couldn't believe it was fucking over that, though.
The like, Nigel, really? Zach booking, yeah. They were really upset. But yeah, we went to round one today. That was cool. I did not win the Magani Luka plushie. I was after. Although I got my first ever perfect score in Sound Voltex.
That was awesome. It is disappointing. Every round one I go to outside the area we live is always better than the ones that are near where I live. But what are you gonna do?
That one's really good, right? The Aurora one. They even had three Sound Voltex machines. I've never seen more than two outside of
Dallas.
That was really good too.
For the G1 that time, that was really good.
The New York ones suck. New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania ones—they're all kind of.
They've built like four of them now, and they're all.
There's a new one that's open. Well, the Menlo Park one's okay.
Menlo Park one's
that's probably the best one.
And the one in South Jersey is pretty bad.
The one in
Pennsylvania is okay.
The one in Long Island is eh.
It's pretty. Last time I went, the fucking escalators didn't even work, which was stupid.
They're building a new one in Queens, like right not that far from me. So
I think about it, the last time I went to the Pennsylvania one, they fucking stopped serving alcohol.
Oh yeah, I remember
midnight
that
on a fucking Friday night. Not because I think whoever was supposed to serve it was lazy and didn't want to do it anymore. Or something. They didn't have enough workers. I'm guessing.
Like, all right, they were like straight. They decided to go straight.
Our friends were like fucking pissed.
Well, yeah,
we were employing too many children.
Yeah, that was fucking weird.
That was really weird. But yeah, the round one was cool. Like I said, I got my first ever perfect score on Sound Voltex. Literally cannot ever do better at that song because I got like people don't know music rhythm games. Basically, it's really really hard to get like perfect on every single note, right? Because you know you can still keep a combo going without getting a perfect. You can get a near instead. But I don't know where I'm going with this. Every single note I hit was a perfect. And I no reason ever play that song again, which kind of sucks, actually. But I also passed my first ever 14 on Sound Voltex. So it was a very good Sound Voltex day. But yeah, I don't know where else I'm going with this.
I played DDR for the first time in a while.
Did you like, were you okay? Because the first time I played it in a while, like, I thought I was, like, coughing up blood.
You picked Max Unlimited or
something. Yeah, well, no, Max
I didn't do that.
Well, no, I did Can't Stop Falling in Love Speed Match, which is a really, really... Back at the old... I don't know the new ratings. It was an old 9.
Yeah.
But it was a really, really hard 9 with, like, a lot of crossovers, and it's, like, the entire song is really, really fast. And then I was like, I'm going to do Max 300. Well, then I did Silent Hill, which is a slow song.
Yeah.
But then I was like, I'm going to do Max 300 now. And I fucking, like, I was ready to fucking die.
I know. You were, like, coughing
the whole time. Well, look, I used to back in the day, I double A Max 300.
I know. Well, that was, like,
I know, like,
almost 15, like years, 15 ago, years ago. I know.
But, like, I was like, oh, I've lost 100 pounds. I could do, fucking do this. And I was like, no. But what are you going to do? But yeah, the G1 Climax 36, Night 1, mm-hmm. the Now Arena from beautiful Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Opened up with Aaron Wolf beating Hanare in 9 minutes and 1 second with a reversed angle slam. Yeah, this was a hot crowd right from the start. You know, I could tell they were popping for Hanare.
Yeah.
Even Hanare
they knew
was,
who it was. Yeah, they knew. They were really popping for Wolf.
They yeah. really
like Maybe it was Wolf. Just the suite we're in, but because everyone in the suite seemed to love Wolf, but
I think the whole crowd was popping for Wolf. They yeah, seemed pretty
they were.
Now look, good. What I've read online already. The as usual for a New Japan America show, apparently the crowd noise was very bad on the stream.
Mm.
So people on the stream are not going to think as people were as over as they were, but in the building.
Oh my God, it was loud. That sucked.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really loud.
Well, I've always said the best reason to go to New Japan USA shows is to not watch them on TV.
Yeah, because
the broadcast is so bad. They also started chanting G1 after the opening bell, which they would go back to that over and over again. That chant. On the scale of annoying American chants, I thought it was okay. That's like not the worst.
Sometimes it was also timed pretty well.
Yeah. Right?
When there was a really hype moment of the match, chanting G1 instead of this is awesome is
yeah.
a definite improvement.
There are only a couple this is awesome chants. So we got to put out that many of them.
I don't mind this is awesome as long as it's saved for... But it's not. It's used too much now.
There was a. I can't remember what.
There was a time where it was.
There was an AEW show we went to where they started chanting "This is awesome." Where I can't remember what the
fuck. AEW shows they chant for like every match.
But I was just like, what? I was like, this match is not awesome. You people are out of your.
There was a time where it was really only used sparing, but now everyone wants to chant it.
I never liked it. Do you ever get "This is awesome" chant?
I think I've got like one "This is awesome" chant my entire career.
Well, there you go.
Like. You forget the times, though, that they used to chant that at NXT at the opening bell
mm-hmm.
like, oh, before yeah, the yeah. match would ever start, and the guys would be, like, facing off, and the crowd would start chanting, "This is awesome." I'm like, the match hasn't fucking started yet. They haven't done anything.
They did that in Dallas for Tanahashi Okada.
Yeah, but at least it was, they were just saying, we're so happy we're getting to see Tanahashi
okay.
and Okada in America.
Okay, so I get that. That's 100%, like, I understand that. I remember this happening with, like, the fucking War Raiders.
Mm.
Like, yeah. Raymond Rowe and fucking Hanson.
Yeah.
And, like, 2016 or some shit. And it wasn't even, like, a dream match. It was just a regular-ass fucking match. And they were going, this is awesome. And I was like, this is the moment that I cannot associate myself with wrestling anymore. Like, what the fuck are we doing here?
But, yeah, this was really, good. I mean, they, Wolf busted out a Sambo suplex at one point, I think, which you don't see that very often these days. That's a great move. Like, Sari does it sometimes. Like, sometimes you're just going for the Uranage, you just hit that Sambo suplex instead. But otherwise, you don't see it that often. But, yeah, hell of a G1 opener here. Hard hitting. Exactly how you want to start this thing. 3 3/4 start, man. Really good. Everybody else give your thoughts.
Really helps legitimize Aaron Wolf as never champion to by beating a former NEVER champion in his first G1 match. I was worried that someone at the party planted this seed in my mind that Aaron Wolf was going to do the reverse Moxley, where he would lose his first few matches and then win his last few. I much prefer that he's getting booked strong at the start by beating a former NEVER champion. And it's good to see that he's getting to work that NEVER style in this match and looks convincing in the win in the process. So great stuff all around. I probably shouted too loud too early for Wolf there, but I just really wanted to see
that. I was doing the Wolfu.
Yeah, giving that Wolfu.
Yeah, you guys have any thoughts about the match?
I'm glad Wolf won, like, he was saying, like, he needs to get some wins early on, I think, would be best for him.
Yeah.
I'm glad they did that.
You should spike a little louder.
Because I thought there was a good chance Nari might win, but I thought it was the right choice for Wolf to win, and he did. And he looked really impressive, and the crowd really loved him.
Yeah.
His footwork was really good. I loved watching his footwork in this match. I like him coming out and having like the wolf on his ass too was like a big addition to the match. Cause like a moment that I popped for really big is thinking back to when Bolton came out under the bars gimmick. You know, cause he had worked under like the Young Lion, like just black tights or whatever. And then the G1 in like 2024 was when he came out and he had like the baby blue tights and like the yellow knee pads and stuff. This kind of felt like Aaron's version of that. And so it was just like, hell yeah, you know, good for you, dude. Like, just, you know, go for it.
The shout out to Kelly Harris from Jumping Bomb Audio, who like called across from the other box, because we had two private suites or whatever. And he called across and he was like, hey, John, you're more in tune with the Deep Puro people. Are people mad at Aaron Wolf for, what's the word he used? Like, I basically bastardizing the fucking Big Mouth Loud logo. And I was like, no, I've never heard that, so I guess not. But yeah, Wolf's like a shooter, so it's okay, you know. But yeah, it does look a lot like the Big Mouth Loud logo. It's a good point. I don't know if anyone here even knows what Big Mouth Loud is.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So,
no clue. That's another WWE thing.
No. This is actually a Japanese wrestling thing. So it was like, I want to say either late 2000s, early 2010s, when Katsuyori Shibata left New Japan, they formed this weird offshoot promotion called Big Mouth Loud. So it was like all like shooters. There was like some guy in the New Japan office that also jumped and formed it, but it was like a complete failure. Like Shibata was gone within like 8 months, I think, and the promotion did not last that much longer. But yeah, it was basically like trying to be like, I think it was basically trying to be like Enokiism, basically, when Enokiism was going down the toilet. So that was the whole thing. But yeah, it's a really, really good opener. Match number two. This was the fucking over-deliver of the fucking night. Jake Lee defeats Shingo Takagi in 10-14 with the FDS, the face break shot. First of all, I just loved seeing the Silent Jester. Loved seeing the Silent Jester live. He was fucking great. They were, like, working really hard here. You know, we got a Death Valley driver on the floor from Shingo at one point. Jake Lee got to kick out of the Last of the Dragon. That was great. And
everybody gets to kick out of the Last of the Dragon. But despite the name, it is never the finisher.
Not anymore, I guess. But it used to be for a while.
Yeah, but that's been years.
Now he has the wrist collector version, yeah. But yeah, Jake Lee won at the end of a great fucking finishing sequence, but I did not think it would happen. I went 4 stars in this. I don't give a fuck. The Jake Lee haters cannot at me. This match was great, and it's time to give him his throne. Leave him alone. Give him his throne. Great fucking match. By far the best fucking match Jake Lee has had since he came back from that injury at the start of the year. So this was the match I wish he had with Stu. It's only 10 minutes, so like, you know, have fun. But this is basically what I figured would be the best case scenario for this match, is they go out there for 10 minutes and fucking have a banger, and that's what they did, you know? So great match. Obviously, Shingo Takagi's awesome, and he's a big part of it too. But, you know, the fucking Silent Jester, baby. Mm. The fucking Silent Jester.
You're looking at me while you're saying that because you know I found Jake's performance slightly annoying. Like, especially the whole dancing clown shtick that he's doing as part of the match. I find it obnoxious. But I did like how the match ended, because breaking out what he used to call the giant killing as a sudden finisher like that, I think does a lot to help him in future matches, right? And add some more drama at the end. I don't think they had really established that it was a kill shot like that during his feud with Tsuji, right?
No, they kind of did.
Kind of did? Okay.
I feel like he beat him with it on a Corkin or something, or he like knocked him out or something.
Yeah, because they did that whole injury angle.
Yeah, and Shane was
taken off for his...
Well, there's two different moves. The giant killer is the knee, the face break shot's the boot in the corner.
Oh, yeah, okay. I thought he called... the giant boot, the giant...
No, the giant blah. The giant killing is the giant killing's a knee.
Giant killing's a knee.
Yeah. But what do you guys think of the match?
I didn't think it was that good, but it was good. It over-delivered.
I went like 3¾ on it. Okay. Like, watching Jake Lee live, he looks a lot more mobile than what he comes across like on New Japan World sometimes. Like, the way that he was hitting the ropes, like, he had a really good snap to it.
And I like the way that they built to the finish, where it was just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And then Jake Lee pops up from a bump and then just runs in with the boot for the finish.
Yeah.
It came out of nowhere, but it was built to at the same time. So yeah, like I texted one of my friends and I was like, dude, I was just here for the best Jake Lee match, non Kento Miyahara, that there's probably ever been.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was, yeah, I mean, yeah, it wasn't like a signature like Shingo match, but like for Jake Lee, like this is one of the best like Jake Lee matches I've seen in years.
Yeah, this is the best Jake Lee match in a while. And but you have to remember it is Shingo.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Takes two to tango. Takes two to tango.
Okay, but Shingo, let's see when he's not wrestling Shingo, what happens. I'm not saying it won't.
I mean, look, is he going to be this great every night?
That'll be a real test.
Probably not. But those are great matches. These are the people this fucking block that you can have great matches with.
If they keep it short and he has like a bunch of like 5-minute matches where it's just the other guy hits him with a bunch of shit and then out of nowhere he pops up from a bump and like runs in and hits a boot in the corner, I'm probably gonna really like Jake Lee's tournament.
Yeah.
I just
don't know what his role is right now in New Japan. Because I get the sense that
he's a goofy heel the crowd kind of likes in Japan, at least.
Yeah, kind of. So what? How do you book that? Like, isn't that ultimately talent enhancement is going to be his role here?
Yeah, no, I don't think he's a main eventer.
Okay.
I mean, he had his little run with Tsuji, but I don't think he's a main eventer. I mean, he hasn't been booked in that way since. So, you know, that's why I thought people were fucking freaking out about this thing. I'm like, it's a fucking V1 in February. Like, you know who else has been a V1 in February? Like, Bad Luck Fale. Like, it's not that fucking deep. What people are freaking out about. Doesn't mean he's gonna win the fucking title. Like, people need to calm down a little bit. I guess I kind of get it because he's won every fucking world title and the promotion's end.
Well, we're talking about one guy here, really.
Yeah, Paul Bosch. Probably.
Paul is really convinced. Shout out, Paul. Then we had Oscar and Ren Narita. Oscar beat Ren Narita in 9:42 of the Nightmare Sleeper. So Oscar had a weird, spooky new theme, but I was getting a Sun Cruiser, so I didn't really pay that much attention. What was this? What did you guys think of the spooky theme?
House of Torture.
It did sound kind of House of Torture, right?
Scares me.
Yeah.
I always skip his entrance, so like I didn't realize it was a new theme.
I think it's the worst of the new themes, and there were a lot of new themes.
Yeah.
I don't. But it could also be that if I could hear more details, which was lost in the big arena.
Yeah.
Then it might like have a cool atmosphere or something to it. It does kind of fit Oscar, though, especially the way he slowly walks around the ring.
Mm.
He's a menace.
So Narita hit him with a chair to leg across the railing. Then he went to work on it back in the ring. There was a House of Bullshit chant at one point. I got to hand to the American fans. That was a pretty good chant. And then to keep hand to the people I don't want to hand it to, Narita's little leg trip into a funky game. That was fucking sick. I got a hand to ISO with that one. Like, that was a really, really, really cool move. And I thought Oscar starting the leg was really good. And then Oscar got him in the sleeper, spun him around, which the crowd really liked, and the ref stopped it. I wouldn't say it was, like, good, but it was fine. It was, like, a gentleman's three, which for a Ren Narita 2026 match, I'll fucking take it. Any other thoughts on Narita, Oscar? Anybody?
This is the match I really have nothing to say about.
I can tell everyone was rushing to get their takes about this one.
This is the match I chose to go and get some food.
Yeah.
Oscar's selling was really good.
It was really good.
It's just Ren Narita is not very compelling as a heel.
Right.
Or anything.
Yeah, I think Ren Narita being the one like beating up this giant who's...
Well, Oscar sells really well. You know what? I'm gonna make a comparison. Oscar, he's a male Lady C. He's surprisingly good at selling for someone who's much taller than the rest of the roster.
Well, John Bevins and I were also talking about this too, but Ren Narita is a thick guy now.
Yeah.
He's really putting on mass. So in an impressive way.
Yeah. But these two matches were the down part of the show, I would say. That match and the next one. Which, again, if this is the floor of the show, it was a pretty fucking good show. So, the next match, Yuto Ice beat Great Okan in 11-11 with the Cruella. We had a Let's Get High chant. The crowd fucking loved Judo Ice. Like,
can we talk about the scent of weed that just invaded the whole area?
And you know what? I just realized the entire rest of the show, we didn't get the weed scent at all.
No, not at all.
They broke out the pin for the one match.
Yeah. The Chicago crowd was really into the Let's Get High chants. Because I swear to God, I've never smelled weed like so hard in my life.
They took two hits. That was the second hit.
Even more in the first hit.
Like, punched me in the fucking nose.
Quinlan, you were sitting next to me, and I thought it was you for a minute.
Yeah.
I had to look over to check.
Did we think it was someone in the suite, by the way?
No. It was someone right below us. Because I could tell where this phone was coming
from. To the audience listening, we were in an open air suite. We were closed off from the rest of the arena. So it was almost certainly somebody below,
right below us.
And we were very close to the rows right below us.
Yeah. We were basically directly across from the stage. So we were like on the far side from the stage. So there were a lot of seats below us that were very full. And one of those people hit their vape pen. But I just realized now, like, the bit was they hit the vape pen, the fucking weed pen, during Let's Get High match and never again for the rest of the night. Never before, never after. Like, that is a great bit. Whoever that, if you happen to be listening, sir, that was a great bit.
You have single-handedly redeemed American audiences.
So Okan used chairs on the outside. The guy behind us who, like, was not a New Japan viewer was confused. But it's like, okay, outside the ring is Thunderdome. Like, we've established this in New Japan camp. Like, you can do whatever the fuck you want outside. You can take a fucking gun and fucking shoot somebody if you want to. And the rest of New Japan are like, well, it's on the floor, so I can't do anything. So, I mean, like, that really...
Were you listening to Joe Lanza?
What? He said that?
Yeah, pretty much, like, verbatim.
Oh, well, I apologize. I actually did not steal that from Joe, like, consciously. So I apologize.
Rich Craig. My apologies.
Oh, Rich Craig?
Just Rich.
Oh, you're right. Like, he was above. That's where I got it from. I apologize to Rich. I took it from Rich. Of course, it wasn't Joe. Joe would not leave his house.
Go to the G1 show. Well, I always liked Kevin Kelly's explanation, which is, this is too prestigious to let it end in a DQ on the floor.
Okay, but that's...
So we have to let the wrestlers fight it out.
That's the ref's discretion shit, though, where the AEW fans love to make that argument, too, where it can get really stupid, where it's like, well, what are you going to let the fucking people do then? Like, I don't know. I don't really mind it as long as it does. It can get stupid, though. I didn't really think hitting him with a chair once was that big a deal. But anyway, the guy asked about it, so. Okan, at one point, shoved Yuto into the ref and, like, low-blowed him. And then hit the spinning claw slam, which I thought was going to be the finish. But Yuto did kick out. And I guess the Corella's, like, what, like a running knee, right?
Yeah.
So he pinned him with the running knee. I thought it was boring for quite a bit of it because Great Okan kind of sucks. But it closed strong. So close strong enough for me to go 3.25. I thought it was pretty good. The second worst match on the show. Which, again, if your second worst match on the show and a night match show is 3.25...
What do you think is the worst match?
The fucking one we just talked about, Nary Den Oscar.
So you thought this was the second worst?
Yeah. Okay. What do you think was second worst?
We haven't gotten to it yet.
Really? Okay.
Ooh, spicy.
Is it not a go-to?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I mean, it wasn't like bad.
I could see it.
That was third worst for me, I think. So
I guess I can't really. Go-to was good.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think how you feel about Silent Chester Jake Lee is kind of how I feel about Gil Okan, where I am amused by the character that he's doing right now, and I think it works for him and helps fill some of the dead space in his matches. He is really leaning into the cowardly bad heel that Americans recognize. And I think it works for him pretty well. It worked really well in this match. I also thought he was going to win it, too. And I was thrilled Yuto pulled this off. Like, basic fucking wrestling psychology continues to work on me after all these matches.
Well, they gave the win to a lot of the people I wanted them to give the win to.
Maybe
you could argue Yuya Callum, but that one's not even that big a deal to me. But yeah, like, they're especially the fucking main event we're gonna get to. The next match, this is the one I thought was gonna be the match of the night, and the fact that it wasn't is incredible. Zack Sabre Jr. beat Shota Umino in 16:10 with the Zack driver. So yeah, pretty good reaction to Shooter. Like, the crowd liked him. I'm not going to say, like, they treated him like fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin, but there was a good reaction.
Better than Japan, I thought.
Sometimes. The Korean crowd I was at fucking loves Shota.
Oh, okay.
I think it depends on the building, because Dominion, they didn't like him. They really loved Drella,
So that was the issue in that three-way?
I think it depends on who he's facing.
Right, right.
Yeah, that could be
it. But, like, Shota in that... when he came out with the global belt at the Korakuen I was at, the first Road to G1 show, they were into him. Like, they were like, oh, look at Shota winning the belt finally. Not that that lasted very long. It's always funny to me... that, I mean, Zach was the crowd favorite, though. And it always funny to me when American fans cheer for Zach, given how much fucking shit Zach talks about America. It's like, do you guys not listen to him ever? Like, he thinks we're fucking, like, dogs who can't actually watch technical wrestling. He was fucking, he was just now in the fucking G1 press conference, he was fucking all proud there were no Americans in the G1 before Aaron Wolf was like, I'm half American. Which is very funny. There's half an, excuse you, Zach, there's half an American in the G1. But yeah, obviously, I mean, I don't give a shit because I fucking hate this country, but you'd think most Americans would be like, excuse you. How dare you talk shit about our fucking shitty country?
When was the last time they had no Americans in the G1?
I don't know. That's a good one. Well, look, they have half an American in this in this fucking tournament. Well,
actually,
does Aaron Wolf have American citizenship, or does he just have American heritage?
I don't know.
I think he just heritage.
Well, because you can't be a Japanese citizen without, and I don't think you can be a dual citizen or a Japanese citizen to get the renounce your citizenship. So probably, yeah.
He doesn't even speak English, so...
I think only a little bit.
Was this his, like, first time to America?
I don't think it was his first time to America.
Did anybody see the G1 press conference where, like, Zach proclaimed himself to be a disco champion? and Aaron Wolf just fucking died and had to, like, cover up his mouth and was like, fuck, I can't come back from this. I'm gonna out-wrestle him.
No,
it was so good.
It sounded really good.
I need to go back and watch it.
Yeah, you do.
It's good. Because, like, when they say it, like, Aaron just, like, he has to, like, cover his mouth and, like, turn his head down immediately.
Disco champion. And I don't even want to know what that means. I assume it's some kind of a Britishism. But that sounds terrific.
Yeah, no, he said he was, like, a British disco dancing champion in, like, 2012 to 2014. And Aaron Wolf was just like, oh, fuck, I can't beat that. Never mind. I was an Olympic champion, actually.
Umino gave Zach this, like, snap DT over the apron where, look, he broke his fucking neck. Like, yeah, Zach.
It always looks good. I'll stand up
really.
It always looks good.
But this time, Shota put a little more flair on it.
Yeah, yeah.
He always puts flair on it.
But then he follows it up. They go back in the ring and he fucking does a jackknife powerbomb. Like Wolfpack in the house.
Yeah.
That was fucking crazy. Like, I don't remember the last time I ever saw him do a jackknife powerbomb.
He's been watching his Kevin Nash tapes.
I'm going to start the rumor that Zack Sabre Jr. decided to spend his entire career in Japan just to escape the, oh, Zack Sabre Jr. fucking chant. What a stupid fucking chant. It's a terrible fucking chant. Okay. There was a sunset flip powerbomb out of the corner from Zach. That looked great, too.
Really great.
This awesome fuck. I mean, Shota always does a really good tornado DT with the ropes, but this was, like, even by his standards, was a really, really good one. And there was this great moment where Umino hit this gigantic lariat, where Zach took this great flip bump for, but then fucking runs right into the first Zach driver. And he kicks out anyway, though. But yeah, Zach gets him in a sleeper, and then hits another Zach driver with a pin. This fucking ruled. It is so fucking funny that these two, every single lead-up match to Tokyo Dome match was great. The fucking G1 match last year was great. This match was just as great as the G1 match last year. I went 4.5 on this match. Every single time these two have met in a wrestling ring, besides the fucking Tokyo Dome main event, it's been fucking great. Like, that is so fucking funny. I know, you're like the fucking apologist
I'm
for
like
that
the
match.
One guy that, like, I guess because I was there live, maybe that helped.
But they've had a great match every time out besides that Tokyo Dome main. I'm not even as low on that Tokyo Dome main as some people. It's just not good for a Tokyo Dome main.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And there was just so much writing on it, too.
Yeah.
Like, that was the worst possible time to have a 3.5-star match in the Tokyo Dome.
But they've, yeah, exactly. But like, every other fucking time, these two have killed it. So it's just crazy they didn't kill it in the Tokyo Dome main. But yeah, this match is
even
fucking
in
awesome.
The tag league.
Even the tag league. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They had that fucking awesome tag match.
Well, that's because of Tomoaki Homma.
Yeah.
Yeah. But awesome, awesome fucking match. You guys put the match over as much as you want. Whoever wants to talk. Gwendolyn.
Yeah.
I apparently have to designate someone else, no one's going to talk. So what do you think of the match?
It was really good. Like we were just saying, that we all said together, it was really good.
We all said at the same time.
I guess
we all did it as a chorus. 3, 2, 1.
It was really
4-star
really
match.
Yeah. Was that only, you only gave it 4? I was 4.
I could be talked into 4.25.
Okay.
I think these guys always have
Well, it's a John Bevins 4 is a John
form of hat. So okay. There's a scale here.
Did you, does everybody think it was the second best match in the show?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
Quinlan, sorry, go ahead.
Well, all I was going to say was I don't really have anything interesting to say about this beyond I feel like Zack Sabre Jr. and Shota Umino can continue to be joined at the hip because they just don't disappoint.
Well, did they have a New Japan Cup match too this year?
I think so.
And that they've had some other singles match.
I think it was New Japan Cup, right? Didn't Shota knock him out? Maybe I'm making this up. I could have sworn.
I know they had another singles match.
Why can't I remember anything about the New Japan
Cup? I feel like Shota knocked him out. I feel like Shota knocked him out in the New Japan Cup. But remember that match being great too.
I think it was in like a tournament, so I had to.
Yeah, I think it was New Japan Cup
where Umino advanced.
Yeah. So
yeah, to like the semifinals were all like
was Shota. It was like Shota, Callum, and Yuya and Bolton.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Shota was one knocked out Zach. So yeah, they've had great matches every fucking time. Well, give me a star rating, Quinlan, for Zach and Shota. I don't
usually do star ratings, but...
Well, do it right now.
4.25.
Ugh, you guys are all cowards. 4.5. The next match, Sonata, Hirooki Goto. Hirooki Goto beat him in 12.04, the GTR. Apparently, I missed, like, the coolest entrance of all time for Sonata.
Sonata had a really awesome entrance, although he needed to have the ref help him take his outfit off.
I had to
that was really funny to watch.
Okay.
One of those things that they won't get to see on TV, but
honestly, a
little treat for the live viewers.
So I went to piss, okay, and I think get a drink or whatever. When I got back, when you started describing the entrance to me, I thought you were fucking kidding. Because it was so over the top, like a gold fucking...
Why would you think I would lie to you about a Sonata entrance?
I thought they were going to pull a video package.
I can't imagine anything as crazy as what this man actually does for his entrances.
The arena went dark, and I was like, what, is there a run-in or a video packet? It was just Sonata. Like, oh, okay.
What a weird man. Okay, the Dominion entrance. Like, being in the building for that, the Japanese people were, like, so fucking into that entrance. Like, every time, there was a Japanese guy, I think, like, two seats down from me. Like, every single time a different fake Sonata would come out, and be like, oh! Like, he just kept getting more. I thought this man was going to have an orgasm next to me. Like, he was so into it. I'm like, good for him. But yeah, this was, again, a weirdly straight-ahead match. And not as such a weird heel. I mean, he did go for, like, a handshake and then booted him in the gut. Besides that, I don't think he fucking cheated in this match once.
It's not only that. He was doing all his moves from the Ace Sonata run.
Like, he's just like, okay.
When he was IWGP champion.
The moonsault.
Such a weird heel.
Yeah.
He, like I said, even did the moonsault flip from the skull end still. But I do. It's good to know heel Sonata. Sometimes when people turn heel, they stop being idiots. Heel Sonata is still an idiot because he let the guy out of the skull end to fucking go for the moonsault. I'm like, sir, just fucking keep him in the fucking skull end until he loses. Like, why you do? Why
look? It worked once, very famously. That means it can work again.
What, the Okada one?
The Okada one,
the G1. Yeah.
That might be the only time it's ever worked. But he's trying to.
Yeah, that means it can work again.
But yeah, he did hit the moonsault, but Goto kicked out. But yeah, Goto hit the wrist clutch GTR for the win, and they were a very solid finishing sequence. A perfectly good 3.5-star match, I thought. Again, I thought the third worst match on the show, but a good match.
They would have had pretty much exactly the same match when Sonata was IWGP champion.
Yeah.
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 Okay, you guys have anything else to add about the match?
I mean, maybe they could have, they would have worked maybe with a little more intensity. There was something very, routine about the match, really. But I just kind of enjoyed the novelty of seeing Ace Sonata again.
Yeah.
The streets are saying, we want Ace Sonata back.
That was just odd that he's doing these moves again. Isn't he still a member of House of Torture?
Still a member of House of Torture,
still,
yes.
Huh.
I don't know. He just decided, he was like, you know
all
what?
That moveset is for
somebody
a
told
place.
Sonata that, well, I mean, look, he kind of did it in Takeshita match, too. He did cheat at the end of the Takeshita match, which he didn't hear. I think someone told Sonata, hey, buddy, they hate the House of Torture here. And he's like, okay, so I'm not going to cheat at all then. Like, that's what it felt like. He's like, no guitar. Leave the guitar at home.
And he has that... He still does that... What does he call the move that he created as a counter to a guy that doesn't wrestle
there anymore?
Deadfall? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Deadfall.
He still does that.
Yeah.
I went, like, 3.75.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was really fun. It was one of the best outcomes for a Goto Sonata match in 2026 that I think you can come up with.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, not to hate on Rich Crates too much, but these are the two matches he was complaining about on the card was Goto being stuck with Sonata and Shingo being stuck with Jake Lee, and they were both good. I mean, I might have been, I'm probably the highest person in the world on Shingo Jake Lee, but even he admitted in the fucking suite that match was good. So you can't complain about what we actually got. The next match was Callum Newman defeating Yuri Murata in 15:42 at the Make Way. Very hot start of the match. Both guys just fucking charged at each other. That was awesome. Especially, like, again, we had, like, a seat that was a little bit far, right? So I'm not, like, you know, not like you had in the Tokyo Dome, but, like, a little far.
Yeah.
And, but that's, like, one of those great moments where you're, like, kind of far away, and you see these two dudes in the ring just fucking, like, charging each other. They give a perfect view of that, right? Yeah. So, like, if you're ringside with that, probably the view probably wouldn't have been as cool. Callum hit this, like, big running drop kick on the outside to Yuya and, like, a bunch of chairs. That looked pretty sick. He also had this, like, very vicious, like, sleeper takedown in the back of the ring. Immediately, too, I was, like, very Sayaka Kura-esque. Because she has a great sleeper takedown, too. The fucking art student unicorn. Yuya goes to work on his arm. Some very good arm selling by Callum, I thought. Callum killed him with a lariat. Went with the Prince's Curse. But Yuya got this awesome counter into the release deadbolt suplex. Probably the spot of the match, to be honest. He then followed up with the high crossbody for a two count. He missed a second one, though, and then Callum hit the fucking double stomp, I think has a fucking... Excalibur?
It's Excalibur. Yeah.
That got a two count. And again, I sort of lost track, like I wasn't keeping great notes at that point, but really good closing stretch. The only critique I would have, you said this too, I think, when Callum hit the make way, I thought at first Yuya countered it. So it looked weird, at least from where we were sitting. I was like, I couldn't actually tell.
Yeah, I couldn't tell who took the move.
Yeah. But again, still an awesome fucking match. Still an easy 4.25 for me. I thought it was a really, really good match.
God, yeah. This was the New Japan Cup final this year. We got to see that again.
Which again, I didn't understand where the fucking bad card critiques came from with this card. Because some people are like, oh, I don't think this card looks that good. Like, you're getting the New Japan Cup final rematch, two fucking Tokyo Dome IWGP title rematches. Like, where is bad? Where do you get bad card for this? Like, they really loaded this show up, if anything. But anyway, didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh no! All I was gonna say was it's terrific, and oh god, I'm gonna pop so hard when Yuya finally kicks this kid's ass.
Did you see him and Ospreay were going at it on Twitter? I was like,
Yuya and Ospreay?
No. Callum and Ospreay.
Oh, okay.
They were like pew-pewing a little bit. I was like, is this like a work? Like, what are you guys like? It felt like, I don't know, with Ospreay, it feels like he's really annoyed sometimes. I can't really tell if it's a work or a shoot. But
wasn't he posting during his wedding day?
Yes, he was.
I feel like at that point, it's just a shoot. Yeah. No matter how much he's trying to tell you it's a work.
Yeah. You got any thoughts on this match? Yuya Callum?
It was a really good match.
Yeah. Probably the third best on the show, I would say.
I think, I don't know if I have this or Bolton Oiwa. I think I might have had Bolton Oiwa higher, but it's really close. I give them the same rating.
Yeah, it's hard to guess between that and
They're two very different matches, too, by the way.
Yeah.
So, that was the next match. It was Ryohei Oiwa beating Bolton Oleg in 13:28 with the Arc Clutch. We had a new Oiwa theme, much less generic than his old theme. It's like has actual lyrics and everything now. I need to hear it a few more times probably when I'm not like rushing back from the bathroom. But it was pretty good.
Very late 90s, early 2000s kind of Green Day, when Green Day was really popular and a lot of bands kind of sounded like them.
Mm.
Really reminded me of that. And that's not my favorite type of rock and roll, but I could see it growing on me.
I want to say, Oi, what theme thoughts? No, okay, get to the match then. Okay, so this was Red Shoes' first of two matches. The crowd started chanting for him. He always hates that. He did a little bow, and then he was like, stop, please. And actually, the bow worked. The crowd was like, okay, great, he bowed for us. We can stop now. They did chant for him a couple other times later, I think in the main event, but like for this match, at least, it worked. Get him to stop. But yeah, it was just like, just really, really, really great mat wrestling from both guys in this match. I just love the fucking finish with Oiwa getting the sudden armbar tap out after they just come up the top rope when Oiwa had him in the sleeper. So yeah, another awesome fucking match here, another 4.25.
And Oiwa had, as much as he's like a great strength wrestler, he switched tactics almost like midway through the match and kept working the arm over and over again. And it paying off like it did here made so much sense. And it worked so well. I kind of like this as a sneaky good pairing between two wrestlers, where Oleg is just a pure strength wrestler and probably the strongest man on the roster and the toughest, but Boywa is both strong enough, but also tactical enough to find a weakness anyway. This felt like a match that they're going to revisit this over and over again as a long-term feud.
Also, I just realized when you were saying that, the crowd did that stupid fucking beef chant I hate one time, I think for Hanare and
what Wolf. Chant?
The beef.
Beef. Oh, I didn't even hear beef. That.
They only did it once. I was thinking about this. They could have done it for this one, too, and they didn't do it. So, way to show your restraint, American crowd. Anything you want to say about Oriwa and Bolton?
That's fucking awesome. It was really good. It
was awesome, man.
I really like Oriwa, and I really like Bolton. And that was really good.
They're very good wrestlers.
I think they're both going to have a really good G1 this year. Although, I
remember they had a really good G1 last year.
I was scared Oriwa might not make it into G1 this year.
But that was fucking
the only qualifier where I wasn't.
Oh, you're right, because ELP it was ELP.
The other ones I knew exactly who was winning each one.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the one I was like, probably a Weewa, but you never know.
Yeah.
It could be ELP.
Like Tony Khan saved us. It looks like he signed him. Thank you, Tony.
Are you sure he's not like maybe retiring or something?
I doubt it.
Okay. I don't know. But if he's had the medical issues and everything, I don't know.
Oh.
And we've talked about this before, but like I suspect the reason he's so slow doing all his flips is he's working hurt.
But I didn't think Oscar was losing to Yujiro or any of the other. What was the other one? Taichi
and Yuto, of course, the fourth one. Yoshihashi, Aaron Wolf.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna be pissed if fucking.
Which the crowd in Corkin really wanted Yoshihashi. No, I was like watching that.
Not that I hate Yoshihashi, but Wolf needs to get
this. Watching that live, I was shocked. I was like, this crowd is like 90-10 Yoshihashi.
But that feels though like Corkin Hall, like reading the room of Aaron Wolf is almost certainly gonna win. So we'll be a little ornery tonight.
Yeah.
For the underdog.
I think that's what it was.
I do love underdogs, that's for sure. As I yawn on the air. The main event, incredible fucking match. Yota Tsuji beats Konosuke Tetsuda in 2052 with the Fire Blaster. Now, unfortunately, Tsuji's new theme was not over at all. I will stand by.
I pop up for it.
I love the
theme. It's fucking good.
It's a fucking pop.
Everyone on the suite liked it.
Yeah. I don't know. I love it. I mean, look. If his old theme, like the people who hate it so much, I'm like, you need to go back and listen to his old theme. It was so fucking generic for a time.
I barely even remember it.
It's just like, they were like, oh, it's Godzilla.
I love this theme. I love Jake Lee's theme too, by the way.
I really like Jake Lee's last theme too, though.
I am a defender of Tsuji's old theme. I thought it was pretty good too.
Okay.
And it fit him. But come on, Wildfire is a banger.
Yeah, it's just a great song.
Don't be afraid. He's a wildfire.
Has a great opening too. Like
I'm starting to feel about it the way I felt about Naito's Stardust theme.
Hmm.
You know, it's getting to that level.
That's a hot take. The crowd was very into this match with the bell. So that was cool.
They were losing their shit right when the bell rang.
Yeah,
and the crowd reminded me of Okada Tanahashi that one time. Yeah.
Now I will say the crowd did like Takeshita more. You know,
It was closer 50, than 50. I thought it would be.
Yeah,
it was like 51-49.
No, 60-40 at least. But yeah,
maybe it's just because almost everyone in our suite was cheering for Tsuji.
There were a few Takeshi shooters in our suite.
Yeah, not many though.
The guy next to you was clearly more of an AW.
Yeah,
fan.
And there were two other people.
I was the guy next to him, and no, I was
the other
guy on the other side.
The other side.
The guy who's not a big fan of New Japan.
But the I'd say 90% of our suite.
The two girls next to me, they were Takeshi.
Yeah, they were Takeshi. Those are the only other two I noticed besides the guy.
Jerry and her friend whose name I don't remember, which I feel horrible about now.
You fucking
huh?
No, I don't remember.
Jerry's friend, yeah. She's very nice.
I don't remember names.
I'm horrible with names. Yeah. Like that, okay. Well, the worst one was that guy, now I remember his name, Joshua. He walks up to me.
Met you in Japan.
He walks up to the barbecue. He's like, hi, John. I'm like,
hey, bud.
And he like gives me a chance. Like, I'm like, hello. And he can clearly tell. I have no idea who he is.
Good to see you, big chief.
He's like, oh, we hung out in Japan a few times. I'm like, we did.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So I felt horrible. But he's from Keeping a Strong Style. He's like
Jeremy.
No, not Jeremy. Jeremy's the one from Jeremy's the one from the like PW Torch one or whatever. Joshua is the one from Keeping It Strong Style.
Yeah.
He's like Young Boy Josh or something on their Discord.
Yeah.
But yeah. I felt horrible when he said that. I'm like, oh my god. Once he said that, it started clicking. I'm like, yeah, we did hang out a few times in Japan. I feel horrible now. But I honestly, okay. there is this one guy, and if he's listening now, I'm really sorry. There's this one guy I spent probably way more time with than Josh, both in Japan and now in Vegas too. You might have seen him in Vegas, actually. He was like a Latino man, basically.
Was he at the barbecue today?
No, he definitely was not at the barbecue today. I'm saying it was in Vegas and Japan. Oh,
in Vegas and Japan.
So I hung out with him a whole bunch at both.
He never took the time to learn his name.
I hung out with him. I did a whole karaoke with him. That was actually the one I was at with Rob Hart.
Damn, and, John.
Yeah. We did a whole karaoke with him. And I have no idea what his name
but
was.
But it's not important enough.
I feel horrible. I see how it is. He probably told me his name once.
We got to bury John on this one.
He probably told me his name once, and I just completely didn't hear him. And I never had the balls to ask him again, because we spent so much time together after that. But I have no idea what his name is.
You missed the one shot. You should have just said, I didn't hear you. Now he's like, the rest of the time you know him, just call him boss or bud or...
Hey, bud!
Or pal.
Brother.
Brother.
Hey, guy.
A lot of brother going around in that suite.
Buddy, yeah, I value the time we spent together. Please tell me your name again if we ever meet again, because I feel horrible. But yeah, there were a lot of other people though that like just were like, you know, there were like people kept recognizing me by my voice in Japan, which is funny but also horrifying because it means they listen to this podcast. Which there was a guy last night at the Damon party who was like, oh, I'm a really long time listener. I'm like, first of all, I'm sorry because you listen to a lot of me.
But the that best was, cool. was when we went to some New Japan show in the 2300 arena. I forget which one.
Uh-huh.
I think it was that Super Junior thing they did. And there was this guy who I remember, I don't know his name. He used to always go to the ROH shows we went to back in the day.
Oh, I know what you're talking
and
about.
And he used to like...
Nick Knowledge.
He used to make fun of you and talk shit to you. And then like, he sees, I guess he doesn't remember. Because he hears you talk about, oh, you run wrestling on Mikaze? I love your show, man. It's the greatest. And you're like... I used to like talk shit to me all the time.
That was no. That was the DDT. Or am I thinking of someone else? That was the DDT 2019. Not 2300. It's the DDT. Oh, maybe it was both. Maybe
it was both.
Yeah,
like DDT in Brooklyn.
Queens.
You might be right. You might have been that one.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, I was shocked because I remember he used to hate me back in the day. Well,
I keep saying said one thing to you once.
Yeah.
But, about the Super Dragon thing, but
yeah.
Super Dragon.
Anyways, we're on Yoshisuji Kanosuke Higashida. So Shuji, at one point, he shushed the crowd. Now, sometimes in wrestlers shush the crowd. I'd love to get your... Have you ever done this? You were trying to shush the crowd and do a slap or a chop or anything?
I feel
like I've been on a lot of shows where the wrestler will be like, shh, and then he'll do the chop or the slap, and it won't even make a noise. I'm like, you shushed us for no reason, motherfucker. If you shush the crowd, it has to be loud. And fucking Shuji slap was loud. Like, that was really loud.
Yeah.
But, like, you're taking a risk when you shush the crowd.
Yeah.
Because I've been at shows where the wrestler shushes the crowd and fucking does the slap and the chop and it doesn't really make a big noise at all.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen that happen.
Okay, so, like, I'm a chicken shit heel.
Oh, yeah, you're not going
to
do that.
So, if I shush the crowd to, like, go for a chop, intentionally going to whip the chop. So it's a shitty ass chop. So that way somebody can grab me.
Well, Jonathan Gresham was doing that like a million times during the Vegas weekend we were at.
Yes, but I don't do it a million times. Like, I hit one shitty chop and I'm like, yes, I'm the best goddamn chopper in the world to telegraph to everyone in the arena that I'm about to get turned around and chopped. Mm. And then the guy turns around and chops me. And it's like, ah, yes, we have bested this man.
But yeah, Shuji shushed the crowd and it paid off. He fucking tuned up the band at one point for the fucking spirit. I don't remember him doing that often. So was he doing that? I'm like, I'm an American. I tune up the fucking band. Because he was like fucking doing the Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. But yeah, and then but he runs right into this huge flying knee by Takeshita. And then Takeshita like follows up with this like amazing Topekan heel to the floor. There was a lot of stuff between these two notes I took because I was just fucking, I don't know, I wasn't taking great notes live. But there was this incredible fucking Gene Blaster counter where Takeshita had taken like an hour setting up like a running knee or something, and he just runs right into the Gene Blast. Like, that was an incredible counter. I was shocked Shuji won this. I thought for sure they were gonna give Takeshita the win back in America.
You kept telling me that and I was scared.
Well, Damon said it. Like, Damon told me last night. He's like, oh, I think definitely Takeshita's winning. I'm like, no, oh, god damn it.
The champion has to beat the
AEW guy. Okay.
Yeah.
When Tony Khan took the international title off him on Wednesday, maybe that was the clue.
That actually, you know,
he didn't want his international champion losing an IWGP champion.
Well, and also losing any man. He's gonna be
probably losing more matches.
Right.
So,
but in general, I just mean he didn't want him to go, because this is in America. Like, yeah. This is his territory. He's going to lose the main event. He's like, well, I couldn't have my international champion losing the main event in fucking Chicago. Really, his territory, Chicago.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you right now, when I saw that on Dynamite, when they said we have a new champion, I had completely forgotten that fucking it was four times. Because they have like 50 fucking titles there. I was like, oh, yeah, Takeshi won the title from Okada.
Okay, well, I will never get over the fact that they have an international champion and a national champion.
Yeah.
That is the dumbest thing
in wrestling. I used to think it was dumb that New Japan had a world and global champion, but...
They did get rid of it.
I think AW said, hold my beer.
Didn't they also have, like, an international and an intercontinental?
No, they didn't have intercontinental.
No,
yeah,
they had an all-Atlantic champion.
Yeah. They changed that belt from all-Atlantic to international, and then they unified the international with the continental, which became the unified title, and then Okada, like, lost one of the two belts in the Continental Classic, and they just, like, got rid of the unified title. So, like, now they basically re-split the belts that they have unified.
I'm sure what you said makes sense and happened. That was impossible to follow. I need you to understand.
To be fair to both
AEW.
To be fair to both AEW and New Japan, neither of them have as many belts as WWE. Like, you watch an NXT show now, like, someone will be backstage with, like, fucking.
Oh,
every person will have, like, three belts. Oh,
okay. My Uber's pulling up. Sorry. Yeah. I'm bailing.
All right.
Main event was, like, four and a quarter stars. Fucking loved it.
It was 4 3/4, actually.
4.5, actually.
Do you want to arm wrestle him?
No, right? I definitely don't. Can
figure out who's right.
Let's fight.
Okay. No? Okay. My Uber's pulling up. I can't. I can't do the job, John.
Okay.
So bye, you lose by forfeit.
Good night, John.
Bye. Right.
I'll plug your coffee shop. Don't worry.
You just thank won. You.
All right. So John Bibbins has left us. But yeah, Shuji won. I mean, I honestly thought this was almost as great as the Tokyo Dome match, and I went 4 3/4 on that one, so I'm like, okay, same rating, like 4 3/4. I put like fifth place on my match of the year so far. So, okay. I really loved it. I thought this was a fucking incredible match.
It was an awesome match. It was definitely the best match of the show. It had me from the beginning and never lost it. Like, you just couldn't take your eyes off it.
Yeah.
It was great.
So 4 3/4.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to fight you.
That quarter star is
really
important.
I don't really rate as much as you do. I rate every match you see.
Fresh on this couch now that John is gone. But the show's almost over anyway. I mean, I was like, we got to finish this before midnight because there'll be knock on the door. Like, excuse you, podcasters. People trying to sleep. But yeah, incredible fucking show. I mean, I was excited for the show. And it's still over-delivered, which is, like, the best feeling as a wrestling fan. But, like, you really wanted to see a show, and the show was fucking, like, really, really, really great. I mean, again, a great atmosphere, obviously. We're in a fucking private suite with a bunch of people they're all friends that I'm friends with, that I know online, that I'm, like, hanging out with. It's just a very great atmosphere.
Now that I think about it, that might have been the best main event I've ever seen for a U.S. New Japan show.
Yeah,
I can't think of one off the top of my head.
That's a good shout. I like that one.
Yeah.
Trying to think. Okay, what was the G1 Dallas made? Okada wasn't
as good.
That was like 4 1/4, maybe 4 flat.
That was very much them playing the hits.
Tsuji and Andrade was pretty good. Definitely the best match of that show.
4 1/4.
Yeah, but this was better.
I'm trying to think
most of the
else.
Strong
maybe
shows,
4.5,
I wouldn't compare. Like,
yeah, I'm trying to think. The Vegas Strong Show I went to, what the fuck was the main event of that? I don't even remember now.
Oh, peep, someone's going to bring up, like, years ago, the...
Oh, Young Bucks.
Cool. I mean, I wasn't there live for that.
Was there. Young Bucks, Ibushi, Kenny.
I'm sure someone will bring that.
Was it awesome match?
You
better...
were there live, you might know better.
Yeah, it was awesome, but it wasn't...
Don't forget
it's a little overrated, though.
Wasn't there, like, a Cody ladder match? That's got to be on the top view, right, John?
Cody ladder?
Wasn't there in L.A. a Cody versus someone in a ladder
Cody
match?
Cody Okada, but it's not a ladder match.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah, that match was all right. I remember that match was really carried by the fact that everybody was scared shitless as Cody's going to win the IWGP title in America, but he didn't. I remember us watching that live at my dad's house.
I thought we were at Anime Expo.
No. I think we were in Colonia. Because I have a memory of watching that in Colonia.
Oh, okay.
Like, my dad used to live in New Jersey.
Sure?
You could be right.
Oh, maybe it was after you moved, but before your dad moved.
Exactly.
Okay.
It was 2017. My dad would
have moved. Yeah.
But I remember watching that, like, in the living room.
Okay.
I think because it's on AXA. So we put it on TV.
Yeah.
And my dad, like we were watching it down there.
Why do I have a memory of him fighting with Anime Expo weekend? him Anime Cody with a ladder.
Anime Expo 2018, so it's the next year.
Why do I have
this image in my head? That was the same year I went to Strong Style Evolved. I don't know, Cody with a ladder? I don't fucking know, buddy.
Okay, I don't know. Anyway, I think this might be the best main event. Definitely the best since that Young Bucks tag.
I think it's better than Young Bucks that one. Yeah.
But,
I'm trying to think, what other fucking
news? I mean, the Philly shows are just like house shows, although they were great. I mean, I did love that 10-man elimination match that ended up with Tanahashi rocking out. But that was more fun more than it was a great match. It's a great moment to see Tanahashi rocking out with the Rock and Roll Express. But
yeah.
And the moment when he beat the fuck out of Chase Owens to win. But,
some people really like that Omega Jay White G1 Supercar match. I am not one of them. I always thought the match was like not that great.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
MSG? Fucking G1 Supercar, buddy? Omega J White.
Have they even ever had a match?
Omega J White, yeah, New Beginning. Omega J White beat him for the U.S. title. Or, no.
Oh, yeah, you're right, you're right, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah,
match is great.
This match was better than Okada J White. Yeah, but that match was pretty good.
I didn't think that. I always thought the matches were great. Naito Ibushi in that show was great, but that's not the main event.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this probably was the best match in New Japan U.S. history.
People are gonna get mad about the. Because I immediately thought of people are gonna be like Young Bucks, Omega
fucking Bushi. Wrestling Omakase listeners.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe not. No, you're right. No, I think you scared on anyone. I mean. Not that I'm saying that match was bad or anything, but
that match was great.
But you're right. The people that love that would probably like give death threats over that match. You probably scared them off a long time ago.
Kenny Omega, great wrestler. Kenny Omega MJF from Dynamite this past Wednesday. As much as
Did you even watch it?
I watched it.
Oh, okay.
That's the first AEW match I watched in 8 months. That match, Kenny Omega's performance in the match was so great. I thought about giving it 4 stars, even though I hated MJF's performance. I thought the finish was fucking stupid. MJF was wrestling that in the most please like my fucking performance way possible.
Everyone has that one wrestler.
Where he's like pretending to fucking be Ric Flair. I cannot fucking take him seriously. Okay. Like when he used to do his technical wrestling, it was one thing. But what now that he's just basically doing this over the top. There's one spot where fucking Omega takes out at one and they cut to MJF. He's taking his like the dumbest fucking looking thing I've ever seen in my life. And then they cut to Will Ospreay on the ramp. He's like, oh my God. Like this is cinema.
To be fair. Despite his hate for the company, sometimes MJF does a lot of stuff that's like, this is a WWE thing, buddy. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I thought you hate him, but this is WWE shit. What are you doing?
But again, not just to make this negative, Kenny Omega's performance in that match, like, I don't know if I've ever seen someone sell better the idea that this is their last chance and they're fucking desperate. Mm-hmm. Like, his desperation in that match was amazing. Amazing performance by Kenny Omega. But MJF is dog shit, as he almost always does these days. What else can I put over from recently? Oh, the fucking JTO show today? The top
two. Oh, yeah.
As you see, Nava and Sai Kamachani, 4.5-star match. Incredible fucking match.
Yeah.
Tomoka and Mirai, like a 4-star match. Just really, really great top two. I like the tag title match, too, the 4-way tag.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you something, by the way. Do you still keep up with Noah?
Yeah.
I
just reviewed them on this show last week.
Of going to a Noah show while we're in Japan just to see Naito, but I keep hearing that it's really sad to watch Naito now.
Every match. The last couple matches he's had, he's looked better.
Okay.
I'm not saying he's looked good. On his scale, he hasn't fucked anything up, and he's not falling down every time he tries to stand.
I don't know if I should ask you this question, because you might be biased.
Observer here, who does love Naito as well, but...
I love Naito, but I heard it's sad to watch now.
It's still hard to get over
He's not falling down
anymore. But he was fine. He didn't make major mistakes.
Yeah,
so,
okay. All right.
He is not at the physical capabilities of someone who should be featured in a special singles match.
He
should be in tags.
What did I give the fucking tag title match from the last Stardom show? I guess I gave it 4 stars flat. That was Yoni Lion against Hi-Hi Mate. Great match, 4-star match.
Okay.
But yeah, that was from this past
week. I'm looking forward to watching that.
Because we're not giving it a full... I'm not doing it a full review here, obviously, because there's, no time. Because, again, they're going to knock on the doorstep and be like, shut the fuck up.
You better wrap it up in 2 minutes, bud.
Yeah. feel like midnight's the latest you can go with, like, a loud podcast in a hotel.
Although, it might, the person in the room next door might have been at the show and be like, Russell Mikaze, can I join? I didn't know that's what you were doing.
That's true. You could knock on the door to ask to be on the show. I just realized how embarrassing my tabs are. I'm not gonna... No one look at my tabs.
Okay. Oh, that's where all your pornography is. Yeah. I see.
It's not actually pornography, but there's something...
Adult fan fiction.
No. Not adult fan fiction either. There's something else.
Yeah, pornography.
There's something else I don't want people to see. But yeah.
Penis and larger...
That's not definitely not that either. I don't...
No, we saw the advertisement for it on YouTube earlier today. The penis flattener.
The penis flattener. Gotta flatten your penis.
That was pretty fucking fun. But
it took me a few minutes to realize, is this a real ad or not? And the funny thing, when that video started...
I paid for YouTube Premium, so when I saw that ad, I was like, what the fuck?
It was so funny that when that started, even with how ridiculous it was, John was still like, this is a joke, right? This isn't real. And that's where we're at, where you still had to be like, I think this is a joke. Someone freaking out about... the government taking an ingredient out of gummy worms, but I can't be 100% with the way things are going.
Yeah.
There is that possibility. There is some guy losing his mind over this shit.
Yeah.
Thinking it's, yeah.
Once they got to the part about, like, fish milk, I'm like, okay, I think this is probably fake.
But I can see, like, fucking our director of health, like, say, fish milk, well, short latte. I can fucking see that on
it. That's a really good impression, yeah, of Cajun. I've been working on it. Impression.
Yeah, but don't choke and die while doing it, please. Yeah,
if I want to get it perfect, I'm going to have part of my brain eaten, I think, first.
Why don't he do it, like, roadkill or something?
He ate roadkill.
Oh, yeah? That's cool.
No, I'm not fucking
I kidding. Believe you.
He 100% did it, and he doesn't understand why people don't do that.
Yeah, well, he's director of health.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, okay. He also swam in sewage with his grandkids.
So I have slightly conspiracy theory about that, but I wonder if he actually killed an animal in a hunt who was either too young to legally kill, or was, like, it wasn't the season to kill the bear, right? So he claimed that it was roadkill. But it wasn't.
That would explain. Didn't he, like, hide the bear's head in, like, a public trash can or some shit?
Yeah, like it's... What he the does fuck that weird is shit?
With this guy? Like,
so, I think it's that he fucked up and, well, that was the cover story.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, that's very possible.
But hey, great show.
Yeah,
great show.
I don't know why I just went back to
that. They should go back to U.S. every year for the first show. Wherever they are, I'll go. Well... For sure, the G1.
Haven't they talked about wanting to expand their base into Southeast Asia, more of Southeast Asia as well?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if they opened a G1 in, like, Singapore?
But I can't go to that.
I know you can't, but that would be cool,
too. It's even longer. Singapore?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's even longer flight than
what
Tokyo.
What if they did in Korea?
I think that's the longest flight in like, the world, is New York to Singapore. I think it's, like, 18 hours.
No, I think Australia's longer.
I think Singapore's longer.
I think Australia gets 20 hours.
All right, let me look this up.
I could be
longest
wrong.
Is Singapore...
You might be right.
So now you're going to get Australia to Singapore, arguing.
The longest... Yes, the world's longest flight is New York, EWR to Singapore, by Singapore Airlines. Because you might be thinking of the one of those where they... Like, I think there's other ones where they have to stop and, like, refuel.
Mm.
I think this is, like, the longest flight they can do without having to refuel, I think.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. But I know that's the longest flight. I guess the New York one is very slightly longer than the JFK one, probably. Because JFK is just a little bit closer to the water.
I guess because I'm just looking at it now. It takes 22 to 26 hours to get to Australia. They've
had to land to refuel.
Probably land and refuel.
Yeah. But yeah. I remember when we were talking to...
Well, there are no nonstop flights. Yeah. So there are, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's the longest
flight. Why it takes so goddamn fucking long.
So, little random cut there for reasons I'm not going to get into. But... yeah, great fucking show, great fucking time, great seeing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably people I didn't even mention that was great seeing. It was great seeing Tyler and Suits and Andrew Rich, and I think I already mentioned Jerry. God, who the fuck else? I'm never gonna get everybody. A lot of people.
You know, as much as we like to rag on American wrestling fans, there are sincerely a lot of great people in this community.
Well, you know what it is? Like, I think I talked about this last week when, you know, when we were talking about the fact that, like, Japanese wrestling is going to get such a bad rap. Pretty much every time I've gone to Japan or, like, gone to Japanese wrestling shows in America and hung out with people, they're always really cool. Yeah. Like the Japanese wrestling, like international community, is really, really, really cool. And again, for people that get a really bad rap, it's like, oh, you know, you guys are elitist and you guys are this and that. I'm like, maybe we just have taste. Maybe you guys should try getting taste. I want to tell you. And some of those people like AEW too.
I also wanted to say though that in this like small voice of wrestling, like this was my first time getting to meet a lot of these people. Everyone was super friendly. Hey, like, I finally got to meet Quinlan, too.
Yeah.
Which, like, I have heard your voice for years.
Yeah, I've heard your voice. Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you're a cool dude. You're super fucking chill.
Everyone was really cool.
Yeah, well, everybody, cool pretty too. Much all the time when you meet people in person. I mean, look, you've talked shit about somebody that you were in the barbecue in the street with.
Wait, which one?
Sue.
Oh, I probably have, yeah.
And you were like, I remember you brought that up to me, and you're like, thank God Stu didn't listen to that episode, I guess. But it's like, when you see people in person, you know?
So you're going to have to cut that too now, because if Stu does listen.
Well, Stu does listen, then he's going to find out you talk shit about on one episode, but it's fine, you care. I mean, you know.
I talk about shit about John all the time.
That's true. Know, but... You know, it all comes out of love. But yeah, I mean, look, Stu is one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Oh my God, he is such a sweetheart.
He's such a sweetheart. Like, it actually makes me feel bad with the shit people give him on the fucking Super J-Cast Discord.
Oh, the Super, well, that's the Super J-Cast Discord
for you. And it's like, I don't know, everybody, and the people, the Super J-Cast Discord people we met last night were really, really cool.
But oh, yeah.
But they were all, like, lurkers, basically. Like, no, like, famous psychopaths.
I love the Super J-Cast Discord, but a lot of it has become like the same 8 people posting and all insulting each other over and over again.
But I'm sure if you hung out with those people in real life, they'd probably be cool. Yeah, but it's most people.
No, I get the sense that it's a lot of ragging on each other because they like each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, honestly, there's a lot of people who I bet think I'm really annoying for my internet presence and then probably meet me and they're like, oh, you know, John's pretty cool. I think that's
people happens. Are not their online personas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the lesson to take.
My online persona is like lowercase letters and like kind of being a weird weeb elitist. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially about music.
Yeah.
But anyway, Quinlan can tell you all about my music that I torture him with in the car all the time.
Decades.
So it was a good thing that I refused to let him have the aux. All right.
Sheena, then.
There's some songs I've heard so many goddamn songs.
Sheena Ringo. The greatest musical artist.
I don't even think she's that bad.
I love Sheena. Well, there was like some.
I'm glad I insisted we just listen to Perfume instead.
You don't like Sheena Ringo?
I don't know who this is, so I have no opinion.
She is the greatest musical artist in history. I love Sheena Ringo. Number Girl, the greatest band of all time, but you don't know them either.
Ethan loves them. Yeah, I'm never letting you figure out the aux.
Sheena Ringo, Number Girl. Ethan loves Number Girl.
He fucking loves them.
Big fucking fan.
Huge.
Never has threatened to kill me over playing them at a panel.
And he's got the best music.
Oh, God.
Such different genres.
No one knows what the fuck we're talking about right now.
I think we've had to mention it before, but anyway.
Yeah, Sheena Ringo, Number
Girl. Okay, you just said
this. You're just recording our hangout session.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hear someone knocking at the door, and I want to turn the AC back on. Shut the fuck up in there! Uh-oh, John, you better...
I'm trying to think of one of my favorite artists. Tommy February 6th.
Yes.
Great artist.
Turning the AC back
Lady
on.
Ladytron.
Oh my God, I love Ladytron. I saw them live once.
I know.
That was
really, really great. Anyway.
With CSS. They're great. They're a great band too.
Actually. They're actually really good. So yeah. You got one.
The AC's coming on there. Uh-oh. Look, it's the end of the episode anyway. It's not going to make me stop. The people are just going to hear the AC at the end of the episode.
Anyway, there's been another episode of Wrestling with Kaze.
I have a whole spiel I have to go through.
I know. So I'm getting you started.
But I'm trying to think of one of my favorite
That's
musical
Oma
artists.
That's Omakase, because Oma, whatever the fuck
I gotta do more. Like, who else do I really love as a musical artist?
Jesus God Almighty.
Who's like my other favorite musical artist? The Love Riddle song? I was going to play the Love Riddle song because of that fucking match. That match was funny. You watched it too. Wasn't that match funny, the Love Riddle match?
Oh, was that the one where they had to keep
dancing?
Yeah, yeah.
That was really fucking... That King Gotcha match. That was such a fucking funny match. I was going to play Love Riddle. But yeah. Who else is my...
I'm going to go downstairs and get a snack. Anyone want anything?
I'm good.
Yeah,
you're still recording.
Okay.
I know. At this point, it's a joke.
In 5 minutes, I might go down and get a snack, and John can just talk
themselves.
You can spend as much time as you want, John, wrapping up the episode.
Yeah. All right, we'll wrap it up. Folks, you can follow us on Twitter at Rusta Omakase. Rusta would not fit. You almost had it. Next week, I mean, honestly, the schedule's kind of messed up because we're doing this episode Saturday, but a week from Wednesday, I'll be back on with Paul to do a ridiculously crowded episode. We have like 3 G1 nights, the first 3 nights of the Stardom 5-star, Kobe World, Summer Sun Princess from Tokyo Joshi, fucking Noah Summer Epic, which I might even just only watch like the last 3 matches of because I don't want to watch that show. Maybe the All Japan Korakuen, maybe the Sunday Girls Korakuen, but I think we're going to end up having to cut the stuff because that sounds like a 7-hour episode. But yeah, we'll be back next week with that. You can follow me on Blue Sky at just one MB. And that's it. Sorry about the air conditioner noise. And that's it, folks. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungi AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungi every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.